off and that's me own. Everybody hear me okay?
Me as well.
Oh. Okay, well, good evening everyone, and you're all welcome to this evening's meeting. Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are either turned off or switched to silent. The use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded, except where the council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. I would remind councillors of their obligation under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the meeting today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. I seem to have a shortened version of the remarks, but I'm just going to ask that we go through the chat still, so just as normal, the P to propose, C to comment. So if I can just... And Q for question, if that's okay. So we'll start off this evening's meeting.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Councillor Enright? Everything okay?
Thanks, Chair. I just want to query point 20, Chair. I think there's a serious issue in terms of governance and transparency with regard to item 20. I mean, we're being asked to approve recommendations by noting the document. Now, the recommendations in 3.1 of the report are at odds with the motion put by Alliance and amended by Sinn Féin in June. So our motion then...
Councillor Enright, item 20 isn't for decision.
It's only noting, yes, I'm worried about. But by noting it, we are passing a whole bunch of recommendations that are at our odds with our motion in June that was proposed by Alliance and amended by Sinn Féin, Chair. Okay.
So that item is down for noting, but when we get to item 20, we'll have a full discussion on that, if that's okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, so... Yeah, so item number one, introduction and apologies. I have an apology from Councillor McAteer. Marie Ward.
Yeah, Councillor Riley, please, as well.
Thank you. Okay, item number two, any declarations of interest? And item number three is the action sheet arising from the SPNR committee held on the 17th of August, 2023. I need a proposer and a seconder for item three, please. Okay. Proposed by Councillor Byrne, and I need a seconder. Okay. Councillor Aidan Mathers has agreed to second it, Linda. Okay. Yeah. Can we use the chat just please? Just put a second, an S in the chat, just to keep things right for Linda, who's on her own. Thank you, Aidan. Okay, we'll move on to the notice of motions. Item number four, the Newry City Park Peace Funding. Councillor Lee Sargent, it's your, so you can read it out and speak in the motion, but you can't propose. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So my motion reads, noting the Council has failed to deliver on previously agreed motions to submit funding bids for the Newry City Park to the Levelling Up and Shared Island Fund, Council will now urgently prepare a capital funding bid to the Peace Plus programme for the remainder of funding required to complete all phases of the project and deliver the world-class park that was promised to ratepayers, and for full council to approve this motion as deadline for this application is Tuesday, 5th of September, 2023 at 5 p.m. So my remark is followed. I still believe this motion should have been heard on the night of full council or at August SPNR. By deferring it to August, it has ensured that the motion wouldn't be debated until after deadline, rendering it pointless anyway, regardless of criteria. In part, I accept the program criteria, but I would like to point out that there are clear benefits of this project and its close alignment with the aims of the peace program, which means that we should have ascertained whether any flexibility around timelines for things like planning permission would have been possible. Bear in mind the fact that the planning permission requirement is often to stop obscure small projects qualifying. The fact that this peace project would be led by a district council who have already secured £16.2 million and have an OBC puts it in a totally different category. And I believe perhaps Peace Plus may even engage with council around flexibility or criteria. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lee Sargent. Okay, so I've got a proposal from Councillor Enright and seconded by Councillor Kelly. Councillor Enright, do you have any comment you wish to make?
Yes, Chair. I propose that in view of the circumstances with regard to being held at this committee rather than the previous SPNR or indeed full council, that I suggest an amendment to this motion as follows. I propose that council writes formally to Peace Plus, apologising for their self-inflicted delays in inquiring and presenting the park project as a funding possibility for the programme and asking whether Peace Plus would be willing to engage with the council to allow a post-deadline application for this funding. Chair.
Councillor Enright, I'm going to ask you, will you put that in the chat to circulate the wording with the other committee members, please?
Yes, Chair.
And you also need a seconder for that amendment.
Yeah, I'm happy to second, Chair. Do you want me to comment that in the chat as well? Or?
Please, Councillor Kelly.
Barry, could I ask a point of information? Can we as a council go back to Peace Plus and say, sorry, we did this wrong? Well, sorry, I'll reword that. The person that just moved the motion has stated clearly that the application didn't meet the criteria of the grant, and now we've got a proposal asking us to write to the funder where the criteria doesn't meet to say, sorry, we didn't submit before the deadline. Can we submit post-deadline? Like, I'm confused what's actually being suggested here.
Yeah, Chair, sorry as well, Councillor Taylor here. Could I just think I should declare an interest here as a new member of the Peace Plus Board, so I'm going to have to declare an interest in this as well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, fine.
Do you want to come in, Connor?
In response to Councillor Sharman, it would be a matter for the members to determine whether we write back the Peace Plus as proposed in the amendment to the motion by Councillor Enright.
Conscious that I've skipped over Councillor Byrne. Was that, Councillor Byrne, was that in relation to the...
Yeah, it's yes, in relation to... Well, I'll take Cadogan's amendment and speak to that as well. But I suppose just on the warden that's in front of us here, obviously it's timed out on the Peace Plus funding of, I think it was the 7th of September. And we all had a verbal update and a written update from the Chief Executive on the prerequisites and the criteria for the funding, of which clearly wasn't met in a number of things in planning, the zoning of the land in terms of the LD, local development plan and that. Listen, personally, and as a party, the SDLP are not interested in headlines, in trying to make articles for the sake of making it. We're only interested in advancing this project. There can be disagreement from the proposers of the motion, but I chaired NCCR over a four-year period alongside Councillor McGrew from Sinn Féin, and it was the determination of council at that time to deliver this project in phases. We decided that so that we would get the project up and going. Phase one was outlined to all parties, and there was buy-in from all parties. Actually, before the election, we went through all the designs of phase one and the entire master plan with the stakeholders down in Neary Leisure Centre, and there was buy-in from all those stakeholders as well. That's where we got all the information together, the outline business case, and were able to make an application to the complementary fund of the city deal to secure the $16.2 million. It was a huge success story, and the council took back here for any overspend on that, up to $2.4 million in order to deliver that. At no point did any of the councillors in the chamber talk about delivering other phases in conjunction with phase one, but that can be done. And if that is the will of the council in order to develop for the phases of this project, then we need to do that work through Neary City Centre Regeneration Group and bring the recommendations here to SBNR. This is headline grabbing because Cadogan, Councillor Enright sits on NCCR. I'm off it now from this new term, but you can put proposals forward in order to advance for the phases of this project. We can go back to Peace Plus and we can ask them to say, listen, we should have submitted a bid to this. Can you reopen the application and allow us to submit a bid for this shared space fund? And they'll just come back to us and say, you don't meet any of the criteria, the prerequisites. Why don't we spend our time and our efforts trying to ensure that we do meet those that criteria and those prerequisites so that we have our hook to put a hat on for future funding bids? And we can do that if you go back to NCCR and I'd ask, make this a proposal. I know we have to deal with the amendment coming first. But if I want to make a proposal, go back to NCCR and talk about putting in the entire master plan for plan and application. There's nothing stopping us doing that. We can put in a plan and application for the entire master plan. And I know councillors have seen the entire master plan with the marina and stuff like that. And council can still get on with delivering with the money that we've drawn down on phase one. That allows us to clear those prerequisites. And when funding comes available, we can say, that, well, that meets the criteria. We can move forward with that. Otherwise, we're making fools of ourselves. Because we can shout about not having funding bids ready all we want. But until we get our ducks in a row, we're not going to meet the criteria for those funding bids. So let's put our effort at getting our ducks in a row. Get NCCR to have that discussion, put in the full plan and approval for the entire master plan, because none of us are agreed what phase two will be like, or even phases after that. There's stakeholders that want certain things in phase two of the park that hasn't been agreed by this council, but we have a master plan sitting there, and it could be a living master plan as well. It's up for change. But if you have a plan and application in for that, then that opens up all these routes for funding. And I think that's the right way to do it. Otherwise, we're only interested in shouting about things that we didn't get and not about making sure we remove the barriers that allows us to get them in the future. So I would make that proposal to go back to NCCR and be sensible about this. Remove the criteria that's stopping us getting these funds, because there's many funds, Shared Island Fund, that will come up in the future, and we are going to miss that because our hook is not ready for that funding hat. So that's a proposal I'd make. In terms of very, very quickly, in terms of what's in front of us, it's just shouting about we've timed out and asking us to do the same thing again when we know it's going to fail because we don't meet the criteria. So I don't support doing that because I may as well sit here and stick pins in my eyes. It doesn't do anything. So I would ask that NCCR be sensible and try and remove the criteria, put in a full plan and application for the entire master plan.
Thanks, Robin. Can you put that into the chat and get a seconder, please? Sorry. And we're going to deal with Councillor Enright's amendment first and then come back. Okay, thank you. Councillor Hannah.
Yeah, I just want to make the point in regards to this amendment. Are we going apologising for our self-inflicted delays around every single project that we may have missed through Peace or not missed? Or are we just solely focusing on the Neary project? Because to me that seems a bit incredulous that we're just focusing in on one thing, even though Peace Plus would have been able to fund many, many projects across the district in potentially both of your DEAs, Councillor Enright and Councillor Lee Surgener. So it's just to make that point. I don't know why, if there has been an issue with Peace Plus, which I don't think there was, why are we focusing in on this one project in regards to it? I also want to make the point that I do feel over the last number of weeks that certain parties are making mockeries out of how we bring motions to council, because they're talking about deadlines and at what we should have done whenever each and every one of us as elected members have the opportunity to go and speak to officers, to raise it through forums, to raise it through proper committees. And none of that's all, it's just all been bypassed. And going back to Councillor Byrne's point around the Newry City Centre Regeneration Project, where all these things were discussed with members of each party on a cross-party basis, but yet we're sitting here tonight discussing something that the deadline's already passed for.
Thank you, Councillor Herman. So we're going to have to go to have a vote on Councillor Enright's amendment. Andrew?
Chair, this will be a roll call. On the amendment, which is the proposal that Council writes formally to Peace Plus, apologising for their self-inflicted delays and inquiring, presenting the park project as a funding possibility for the programme and asking whether Peace Plus would be willing to engage with the Council to allow a post-deadline application for the park. So, Councillor Brennan?
Against.
Councillor Byrne?
Against.
Councillor Enright?
For.
Councillor Hanlon?
Against.
Councillor Howell?
Against.
Councillor Kelly?
For.
Councillor Lewis?
Against.
Councillor McAteer, an apology. Councillor McAvoy?
Against.
Councillor Mathers? Councillor O'Hare?
Against.
Councillor Quinn?
Against.
Councillor Riley's an apology. Councillor Sharvin?
Against.
And Councillor Taylor declared an interest. So that's 1, 2, 3. That's 10 against and 2, 4, Chair.
Okay, thank you. So that amendment of the notice of motion falls. So I know I'm going to give Councillor Byrne, he's typing till his fingers are nearly burnt off him, so I'll give him another couple of minutes. No problem. I'll just, if you bear with us, we'll give you another couple of minutes. Thank you. Okay. And he's still typing.
Yeah, Chair, so the proposal is that we ask SBNR asks NCCR to investigate submitting a full plan and application for the Newry City Park, that's a table, master plan, so that we satisfy all prerequisites for future funding bids to develop a further phases in parallel with Council delivering Phase 1.
Okay, thank you. So again, I'm going to hand over to Andrew and he'll do a roll call.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Roll call vote on the amendment proposed by Councillor Byrne. Councillor Brennan? The second amendment.
Wait, it's not
saying... Seconded Councillor Byrne's proposal.
Councillor Savage, not here.
Sorry, Councillor Sharvin. Sorry, Councillor Sharvin seconded Councillor Byrne's proposal. So it's for Pete's proposal. Okay.
Thanks for the clarification.
Sorry,
Councillor Byrne?
Four.
Councillor Enright?
Four.
Councillor Hanlon?
Four.
Councillor Howell?
Four.
Councillor Kelly?
Four.
Councillor Lewis?
Four.
Councillor McAvoy?
Four.
Councillor Mathers?
Four.
Councillor O'Hare?
Four.
Councillor Quinn?
Four.
And Councillor Sharvin?
Four.
That's 12-4, not none against.
Okay, so thank you. So that proposal is carried. So Connie, you're happy enough to... Thank you. Okay, so we'll move on to item number 5, notice of motion funding of projects. That was Councillor Savage's. So, Pete, you're taking that?
Yeah, happy to take it. I've been speaking to Councillor Savage on the motion. He'd read it out of full council. I suppose just to go into the commentary of it, the Office of Recommendation here is that SPNR consider and agree the proposal to add identification of funding streams to the Strategic Finance Working Group agenda. We're, as a party, we're happy with that. I think that is the right forum for these discussions to be taking place. The problem for us as councillors is that we know all the good work that happens with officers. You're always scoping for funding streams. And we can see that from the funding that we've drawn in for our capital projects that's in the paper. And in the review of 22-23, we can see all the funding that's drawn down on our capital plan. So we know the good work is being done, but it's keeping us abreast of the good work on potential streams. And I think if we can do that through SFWG, then we will have the knowledge to go out and talk to the public about it. It will be over the next couple of months, if it's on a standing item on the agenda, if it's not working, you know, Councillor Savage said he will come back and ask for a working group. So I think it's really, you know, down to us to make sure that we get that working, as even if it's only an update on that, we don't always have to be discussing certain capital projects, because there is this danger of us as councillors going into the minutiae of certain projects when there is project boards to deal with that. There's project boards to deal with the gondola, with the park. We're not trying to replicate that, just kept abreast of funding streams. So even if we can get an update at SFWG, see how it works over the next couple of months, and I'd say the motion will be sorted that way. So yes, happy with the Office of Recommendation on that.
Thank you, Councillor Byrne. Have you a seconder for that?
Yeah, I'm happy to second that.
Okay,
so I do think SFWG is the right forum for this type of motion to be dealt with, and agree with what Councillor Byrne's saying, is that really, as when we're coming to make the decisions on these funding applications, we really don't need to be involved in them at the same time. So it's just keeping abreast of what's going on through the process. So happy to second.
Thank you, Councillor Hannan. Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chair. Broadly in favour. I would say, though, the Down Council had a very similar policy where it kept abreast of funding opportunities. But they also had anything up to 7 standing costed projects that could be ready to roll out at any one point in time, projects where the council itself couldn't actually afford. Examples of this would have been replacing, say, the coil barrier to make the coil navigable again in the same way that we upgraded Victoria Lock and the Newry Canal. Another example would be the Coyle River Park. And there were other ones outside of the Downpatrick area, but I know they were the ones that that we had developed in terms of either tourism funding or environmental funding or infrastructure funding. So I think it might be better if this motion perhaps was taken with a view to also trying to identify those projects which have been long sought, like the Coyle River Park, or the repair of the coil barrier. We know what the costings are because the Lagan barrier was done last year, and it's exactly the same as the coil barrier. Wait and have them on a shelf. That's what Down Council used to do. We'd have anything up to 7 projects which you couldn't fund itself, sitting on the shelf waiting for the opportunity to be funded if funding opportunities should come up. So I don't know if that's an amendment or is it just something we can note as part of that process?
I would maybe just note that. I'll take that away as a note. And when we're preparing the agenda for the next meeting, I'll take that forward as a note.
Thank you. Okay, so we move on to item number 6, the Equality Action Plan 2023 to 2027 and the Disability Action Plan 2023 to 2027. Give that over to Colin.
Thank you, Chair. Just to say, we've reports been circulated regarding this. The Chair said it's our finalised Equality Action Plan, Disability Action Plan, which are both required statutory obligations set out under our Equality Scheme and also our disability duties. The drafts were prepared, obviously, to the corporate policy section, but considered by our corporate management team, senior management team, and also the draft documents by the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee. We did proceed to a 12-week public consultation. We received 36 responses in terms of our draft disability action plan, 27 in terms of our equality action plan. So it's just before you tonight to approve, if anybody's any questions.
Okay, thank you, Colin. Councillor Hyle, you're happy to propose?
Yes, thanks, Chair. More than happy to propose. I've read through the documents, and I think it's important that everyone in our district is included and has access to services. So, yeah, more than happy to propose.
Thank you. And I see I have a seconder in Councillor Byrne, but I'll take Councillor Kelly in just before you, Pete, if that's okay.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, I'm just noticing on the disability action plan, the council noted there's like a population of over 180,000 in New Mundoin, but we've only had 36 like consultations and responses for that. And I noted it was, I think it was point 9.2 of that action plan about the council has discussed engagement or sought engagement through their council website, social media and newspapers. But I just was wondering if council has a plan to maybe encourage more engagement, as for me that just seems quite a small amount, and I think it's just important that we have consultation for different disability groups throughout the council district. So yeah, that would just be my question.
Thank you, Councillor Kelly. Colin, do you want to come in there?
Yeah, just to say as well, we did undertake the consultation through our Living Well Together engagement platform, which is under our community planning approach. We also did engage with the CEDAR group. We would work quite closely with the CEDAR group in the area, which covers a lot of the people with disability, and it works right across the whole council area. So they were also consulted as part of this process and engaged with. We do engage with them on an ongoing basis as well.
Thank you, Colin. Okay, happy enough, Councillor Kelly?
Yeah, can I just add, sorry, Chair, just another separate point actually is just I noted that the report mentioned, you know, people with autism, and I just think we have to be kind of careful with this conversation, is that I don't think many people who would say they're autistic wouldn't say that they necessarily have a disability either. So I just raise that as a point of maybe awareness and how we as a council engage with people who have neurodiverse conditions. But yeah, thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Happy to second. Obviously, the framework has been given approval by the public in both documents. When I was reading through the documents and I seen, I think it was the 36 responses on the equality plan and some of the negative things that were coming in and talking about white elephant, we work for you, yous work for us, and civic centre and park and stuff like that, you're going to get that through everything. But I thought about the same as Councillor Kelly, that they were low. And I know it was at NMD Speak that we use that platform. We try to get more engagement. But then the more I thought of it, you know, you have people that reply to consultations on behalf of groups as well. You have people that read the consultations or read the document when it goes out to consultation, but don't actually reply. You know, you could have a meeting here in the council chamber of 41 councillors. I mean, every person has to speak or give their views on something. They could be happy enough by reading it and let it go through. So that doesn't concern me on the numbers. And it was wholly positive. But sees on some of the responses, obviously it stuck out to me that it's the marginalisation of rural communities, and I've been raising this as a rural councillor time and time again. Obviously we've got a rural needs policy, but always ensuring that rural communities are protected in any decision that's made. I do agree with the recommendation update the plan to reflect councillors' roles and advocating on issues outside, you know, the council's remit. And you're talking about Daisy Hill came up in that document as well. So I think that covers it, because things that council aren't responsible for, the public need to be aware that we as councillors have roles as advocates as well. One of the questions on the disability action plan was, acknowledge the plan was good, but will it be advanced? Are there diversity champions or ambassadors in the council, and who are they? And that was like an alarm bell to me, because we had a diversity champions program in the last term, and we have a diversity ambassadors program in this term. I think we do need to do a wee bit more work as a council in order to let the public know that we have people in those roles. I'm fully aware, Colin, that it's outside the remit of this council that's carrying on that. But I think there is a bit of work that we could do in order to let the public know that we have four councillors here and an officer that are championing diversity. And as Councillor Kelly had said, is there any way that we can opt to a consultation with certain groups? I think if we use the diversity ambassadors, there's no reason why we can't have an event once throughout the year where you have your diversity ambassadors within this council sitting down with whether it's Section 75 groups or other groups to speak on behalf of people with disabilities and having a roundtable discussion of what are their concerns and what do they think the council could be doing more of. I think that's our role as diversity ambassadors. We don't have to sit and say, well, that is left to another body that's running that. We could do it as a council. And it would actually add to when we're doing our overview of the year and how we've met all our goals, that we've had that on top of the Equality and Good Relations group, that we sat down and we've given people a forum to speak to the diversity ambassadors in the council. Now, other councillors might think that, you know, maybe roll it out to all councillors to come in and have that discussion, but I think we should start with the diversity ambassadors, and that's a way of trying to get a wee bit more consultation throughout the year and listening to concerns and educating ourselves, diversity ambassadors as well. So if you can take that away, it's not a formal proposal, but take it away as an idea in order to try and address some of the questions that's in here. But definitely as a council chair, let's get out and tell people that we do have diversity ambassadors and who they are, because that's one of the questions that's in here. But yeah, happy to second it.
Thank you, Councillor Byrne. Okay.
Well, I think there's a lot of points there, Councillor Byrne. With regards to consultation, you will notice within the Equality Action Plan, we are looking to review and refresh the Council's consultation engagement framework, just in general, not need to be updated. The issue around the diversity ambassadors, I did speak to you earlier before the meeting. There was a meeting. It is being run through the Local Government Staff Commission, the Equality and Diversity section, which is actually maybe headed up by the chief executive now of ABC Council. We did meet on the 5th of September to discuss what's the role. They're actually currently going around all of the councils. We have actually nominated only one officer and four councillors. Having spoken to them, some councillors, I was actually speaking to somebody in the ABC Council today, they've nominated, I think, maybe three or four officers and only maybe two councillors. So there's a real difference right across all of the councils. And it's, again, them trying to reinvigorate this programme. As you said, it used to be diversity champions. Now they've rebranded as diversity ambassadors. They've written specific roles and responsibilities. And one of the points, when you do look at those, it does start to stray into things which might be within competence of council, might be more party political focused. So there's that just clearly marking out, demarcating the lines. Role and number, it is something I did express to them, and I sort of thought all councillors should be diversity ambassadors, because councillors all have their code of conduct that they and good relations and equality are set within that. But it's something we can take back. It is something we'd be looking to promote, and that's what we have in the plan. It might be something they'll have to do on an 11 council basis, first of all, to get all of them together and create an action plan and then bring that back through council for promoting that we actually do it. I did raise the issue as well. Finding a role for diversity ambassadors can be a challenge, in that we already have chairs and deputy chairs of council. We already have our Equality and Good Relations reference group, and only one of the diversity ambassadors sits on the Equality and Diversity Equality and Good Relations reference group. So we might have to look at that internally within council, so that the ambassadors can really add additional value to this. But happy to take that away.
Yeah, happy with that, Chair. Just one thing, when you're saying obviously all councillors are diversity champions and our ambassadors, totally agree with you on that. But the fact is, groups are talking about being able to engage more with the council, and I think it's a very easy win for us to have some engagement once a year where we're sitting around the table and listening to the groups, even a listening exercise. And those diversity champions, the four of them, they reflect the political parties here. So then that person that was nominated by the party can feedback into the party the issues that have been raised by Section 75 groups or groups of disability. I think it's a positive way forward if we can look into that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Byrne. Okay, so we'll move on to item number 7. It's the public consultation on the proposed drafts strategic framework to end violence against women and girls and foundational action plan. So I pass that over to Gary.
Thank you, Chair, and good evening, members. You'll probably all be aware of the relatively recent murder cases of Sarah Everard and Ashley Murray, along with other ongoing incidents of sexual violence and domestic abuse against women in Northern Ireland that highlighted this need for positive action in order to prevent these things from happening. The then Justice Minister at the time of those murders, Naomi Long, recognised that there was a need for social change in society to end sexual violence against women and girls here in Northern Ireland, and as part of that, that the change must be driven at a cross-departmental government level. Notwithstanding the current absence of Stormont, the Executive Office has continued this work and is consulting on the proposed draft strategic framework to end violence against women and girls and this year's foundational action plan, and that's what you're being asked to consider today. It recognises that violence, abuse and harm against women and girls cuts right across all generations, all communities, everyone within our society, all spheres within our society, and happens everywhere, every day, and in reality impacts on how women and girls live, work and socialise. As you will see, and or you will have seen in the submitted consultation itself, and this is the associated report, the consultation outlines a 7-year plan from this year through to 2030. It's actually a strategic framework in order to end this violence, and it sets the agenda for all government and society to end violence against women and girls. The framework identifies 4 broad themes and then 6 outcomes within each of those themes. All of those are listed within the consultation and the report itself, so I don't propose to go through each and every one of those. But I do think it's important to note that within the actual themes, the key emphasis for the strategic framework sits on the theme of prevention, and that is where council sits on that wider safeguarding continuum. Our key role in that is that preventive element of it. So the draft action plan itself highlighted is a foundational one, and it underpins the work that the Executive Office want to sort of action out through the rest of the year, and has developed key actions to lay the foundations of the current work and make meaningful change and effective delivery that will sit within the framework and can be built on in the years to come, specifically once we have an executive that can push this forward. So the Council proposed response supports the strategic framework and highlights the need for sufficient funding with any work that is being considered, and that the actions are achievable in that they support confidence and change. But other than that, there are no significant comments from Council. So members, I therefore ask you to agree the consultation response in relation to the draft strategic framework to end violence against women and girls and this year's foundational action plan. And if anybody's got any questions, I can happy to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Councillor Quinn, you're happy to propose?
Yeah, no, I am 100%. I don't think anyone would be objecting to a framework like this. Some of the statistics were shocking, and I just think, you know, it is a good document to be proposing. So, yeah, I'm happy enough.
Thank you. And Councillor Hyle, you're happy to second?
Yes, happy to second, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll move on to item... Sure. Oh, sorry, Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, just a brief comment on it, Chair. Obviously, support the document. See, when you're talking about the 4 broad themes, prevention, protection and provision, the justice system working better together, obviously the consultation is open until, I think, it's the 3rd of October. I think there's a duty on us as councillors. Yeah, there's a duty on us as councillors to ensure that we let the public know. I know that's the Executive Office, obviously, doing the consultation, but to drive responses, because this is an issue that we all need to engage on. Male and female. Obviously, you're talking about an education piece. What is abuse? What is abuse and violence against women and girls? And there's a big piece of work that we all need to do together. So I think something like, you know, the women's working group that was set up in council, I think would be really, really good if that group would engage and maybe do a wee bit of PR on this on the 14th. So you'd have somebody from that group talking about prevention, somebody talking about protection and provision, just to say, listen, we want to hear your views. This is a very important issue to us as a council, so we can show that we're leading on this, and do a wee bit of media on it. So that will drive responses, because the more responses we get in, you know, the better the consultation is. It's all well and good, us as a council, putting forward our own consultation responses, which I've read through. We as political parties can put through consultation responses, but with a designated women's group in the council, putting out something and asking people to take the time to respond to this because it's important, I think that would be something that we should be doing before the 3rd of October.
Thank you.
I mean, certainly from my point of view, I'm more than happy to support that. If anybody wanted from the women's group wanted to make contact with me, I'm quite happy to work through that with them.
That's great, Councillor sorry, Councillor Warren, Gary Scott. We will reach out to the women's group and ask for them to get in contact with yourself and work from there.
No problem at all. Thank you.
No bother. Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to item number 8 then, the assessment of performance 2022-23. Gerard.
Thank you, Chair. So, members, I'll take the paper as read, but just to highlight to members that we have a statutory duty to complete an assessment of performance annually. Appendix 1 highlights our assessment of performance for 22-23, and this is then subject to audit by the Northern Ireland Audit Office, and it commences in October. And Appendix 2 then is really a summary document highlighting the main stats from 22-23's performance and then highlighting our performance improvement objectives for 23-24. So I'm just going to move to section 3.1 of the report and the recommendations. So just for members to consider and agree the assessment of performance for 22-23, including the summary document, and that the assessment of performance 22-23 is published by the 30th September 2023 on our website. So that will be before full council ratification. And this is just to ensure that council meets the statutory deadline. So happy to take any questions, Chair.
Thank you, Gerard. I'm going to call you Councillor Gerard. That's from my head, that Councillor Hanlon.
Yeah, I just wanted to pick up on some of the performance objectives, you know, and the fact that we have our non-smiley faces yet again this year. I suppose in regards, and I raised it before, around the quantifying how council are actually contributing to the local economy in terms of, you know, we talk about the you know, the value of what we're putting back into it, but we can see there that, you know, there's 187 new jobs created, but that's down from the previous the previous report that we would have received. So that's a bit disappointing given the economic sort of situation that we're in at the minute. And in terms of the cleanliness, again, it's really, really disappointing. It seems that year and year and year we can't get a handle on that. And it's probably one of the biggest issues that us as councillors get in our inbox is around dog fouling, littering, and fly tipping. So, you know, I suppose it's looking at how are we going to improve that going forward. And then the bugbear of absolutely everybody is obviously the planning system. So I am hoping that this is going to improve going forward with the restructuring of the department, and hopefully, you know, that we won't be sitting with the red and being the worst in the north. Because again, it's something that more and more and more we're getting complaints about. There's hardly a day goes by that I wouldn't have 2 or 3 or 4 complaints about where is my plan application sitting, can't get a response. And that's in no reflection of the staff in those departments, because they know they're trying their best, but we need to do better as a council, because we can't be sitting every time this paper comes in front of us with the same kind of generally 3 areas highlighted. So it's just to make that point, you know, that we need to do better.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Hanlon.
Sure, I'm happy enough just to come back in on the first point. It was about the jobs created. So there's a green face, a smiley face for this year. So we met our target, but the audit that was required, you had to sort of provide trend analysis on the previous year. So a lot of them are funded programs. So if we had less funding this year, no, we didn't have as high a target, but we still didn't meet the same number of jobs as the previous year, but there may have been different funding programs. So that's why there's a green smiley face and then a downward trend, because we created more jobs last year. But in relation to littering and the planning, I'm happy to hand over to either of the directors.
Thank you. Okay, we'll go Councillor Kelly.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I actually have a few questions, so you might have to hold in there. But page 42 is talking about enforcement officers, and acknowledge that recruitment for enforcement officers has been quite difficult, particularly seasonal workers. I'm noticing that it's kind of been a trend across different parts of the council in terms of recruitment of seasonal staff, and I'm pretty sure at the moment in the Down district sort of legacy area, we only have one enforcement officer, and I'm just concerned about staff morale in that post. So I'm just wondering if you know, what is Quinsel's plan in terms of advertising these jobs going forward, and perhaps alternative recruitment, maybe websites or publicising of those roles is looked into, and also just one thing was mentioned to me about seasonal lifeguards was more about the scale of pay, but that's maybe a bigger conversation itself. And then just on in regard to house recycling centres and waste, you know, it's recommended that if you have too much for your blue bin, that you'll go to your local recycling centre. And I think it mentioned the signs that were put up advising residents how to separate their recycling. So I'd just be quite interested, though, to know why do we have to separate it there whenever, you know, our blue bin we just put in, you know, it's mixed recycling. And what is kind of council's sort of recycling kind of protocol on that? I hope that kind of makes sense. But yeah, that's my questions.
Andrew, do you want to come in?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. In terms of recycling, clearly the blue bin is a curbside service, and the material is then shipped to Regen, and it's separated through their materials recycling facility or reclamation facility. At the recycling centres, clearly there's more of an opportunity to get the public to actually separate the material rather than putting it all in together and shipping it off to a MRF. It actually gives you a better quality of material as well, and in essence, you can usually get a better price for it. So I know that it seems to be two different approaches, but I think both approaches are applicable and suitable. In terms of seasonal staff, yeah, I mean, we have encouraged significant difficulties this year, not just in enforcement, but also in the likes of seasonal grounds maintenance staff. Even though we've advertised a number of times to secure seasonal staff. Now, that may well be a function of the employment market at the moment. And we're also looking to see if there's a way of amalgamating some of those seasonal posts to make them permanent, because it's clear that obviously permanent posts will be more attractive to people. And so that's an ongoing discussion which we'll feed back in through Sustainability and Environment Committee, Chair.
Thank you, Andrew. Councillor Sharvin?
Yeah, Chair. I similarly had queries about planning as well. I think it's a continuing thing that does arise whenever the performance report comes out. But as Councillor Hannah mentions, we are going through a period of transition. I'm hopeful that the new assistant director there will get it into shape and we'll start seeing performance. But maybe Connor can touch on, you know, timelines of when we can expect to see an impact of positive of performance. The other couple of areas that I picked up on was the ledge centres. The attendance at the Down Ledge Centre is actually pretty close to 2018-2019, but obviously not 2020 period. But Newry Ledge Centre itself is significantly down still to this point. Is the Active and Healthy Communities department undertaking a piece of work to understand why our ledge centres haven't returned to the level that they were pre-COVID? And, you know, is there something that we can do from a membership sort of promotional side to get that figure up in the future? And then I sadly don't sit on Active and Healthy Communities anymore. I've thrown off it because I asked too many questions. So you get to keep me in SPNR. but the play park strategy has obviously ended. Is there a timeline of when the piece of work is being undertaken for the new strategy? Because obviously I assume it should be 2023-2028. But we're obviously nearly halfway through the year. So just wanting to understand that. And one other thing, I had my red pen out when I looked at the other appendix about the actual document. And I saw Newry Town Hall and the Newry Leisure Centre, and I went, where the blue hell's Downpatrick? Then I went to the next page, so it was all right. But it's also good to see. It was good to, no, I know where that is, but I knew it was, I didn't know it was on the next page, so we were left out. But it's good to see Saul represented with St. Patrick's Monument as well, so it's a great addition.
To come back on the queries around planning, I think we're all very aware of the challenges that the planning department have faced, and we're not on our own, and it's across all councils. Just to, for a bit of context, we received the most planning applications into this council last year of all 11. We made the most decisions, and we were the second highest in approvals, getting plan approvals out the door. So a bit of context. Some of the challenges have been around the introduction of the new planning portal, the recruitment challenges, which again are not unique to this council. And we have commenced a recruitment campaign. We have been able to appoint two new senior planners, and we had three vacancies. We were only able to appoint two, so we have another vacancy that we're going out to recruit. We have a recruitment campaign at the moment out advertising for planning assistance, and we hope to get a good return on that, and that will fill, again, another four vacancies that we have. We have tried to fill these vacancies by temporary recruitments, and we don't get the same interest from the pool of planners out there than we will going for permanent posts. And we do experience levels of absenteeism as well, which is an issue where we then have to redistribute the applications for those people who are not in post and able to get them through to a decision. We are also looking at some redeployments from some areas of the planning department to others to prioritise the areas where the pressures exist. And we're introducing efficiency measures and processes across the development management team to ensure that we can reduce the backlog, and we will introduce performance management to monitor the performance of the team going forward, so as we can highlight any areas for attention and to sort of encourage performance improvement where it has been demonstrated.
Thank you. Connor, Paul, do you want to come in? I have them online for you guys.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just in response to Councillor Sharvin, we did see, these results are obviously, there's a lag time in them as well. We have seen a lag last year in people coming back to leisure facilities in Newry in that area. There's a number of variables, I suppose, that you could attribute that to, and certainly we looked at those very, very closely. But if I analyse the stats for the first 5 months of this year, we are back to pre-COVID membership levels. So there was a lag in, for some reason, at in the Newry end of the district in person coming back to Newry Leisure Centre, but that's certainly caught up now, and I suppose to just give some reassurance about I suppose the work we've done around the promotion of the likes of Newry Leisure Centre. And so across the board now, we're probably back to pre-COVID levels, which is something that, and we're exceeding them in some places. And so that's something, I suppose, when we look at the first 5 months of this year that we're really happy with. And I'm certainly no Jared in terms of income and stuff. He's very happy to see that. In terms of the play strategy, you'll be aware, Councillor Sharvin, I'm sure a lot of other councillors will be too, around the consultation dates that are about to be rolled out for the review of the play strategy. And we're expecting to bring a report on the results of this review prior to probably in the next month or two to be in line with the rate assessment process, so that we can, I suppose, look across the board and what that reflects going forward. So I realise there's a bit of an interim period. We actually still only finished some of the Dara Cross, you'll be aware of, and Taconic. We only just finished them in June past 2023 on the play strategy. But yeah, we're moving forward on getting this review to councillors as soon as possible.
Thank you. Okay. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. had planned on doing, but I'm not going to touch most of it's covered, just one point on it. Seeing we're talking about our targets in this, every year since I've become a councillor, we get into the planning section reading through this, it's always those wee sad red faces on it. And you've, Connor, talked about having second highest in approvals and most applications across all councils. Is that reflected in us setting the targets for that, or do we have to go by the NI-wide targets on that, you know, in terms of percentage of approvals and stuff like that there? Because if you have the most applications coming in or than any council, then it's down to sort of the numbers of people that you have working on those applications. So it's all right somebody got a higher percentage and have less applications, like Mid East Antrim or something. But as long as that's been reflected in the targets. Obviously, we put in measures in place a number of years ago with shadowing directors and stuff and that. And obviously, when this came up at the audit committee before, when measures are put in place in order to try and turn a trend, we need to make sure as councillors that they're having an effect. So that's something that we need to maybe be picking up on. The other issues I wanted to pick up on this was job creation was covered by Councillor Hanlon. See the free play initiatives. Obviously, there's a bit of a lag in this because of the year that we're talking about. They were obviously gone at that stage when we're talking about COVID. Have they been replaced? Was that something that's starting up again? Because you always talk about people saying, what do you get from your council? And those free play initiatives are something that always get good feedback from the public. The circular economy plan, I know when the previous director of, I don't know what the director's called now, so yeah, the previous director of the RATS committee, the sustainability and environment, is it? Yeah, Roland Moore was in post. He was talking about the circular economy and what we were going to do as a council. And obviously that's in this document. They're saying we can't do anything on that because we're waiting on DERA's waste management plan or whatever. Is that still the case? Or is it not something we can do to start moving in that direction? I didn't know there was a mobile app for reporting waste for officers. Is that something that can be rolled out to councillors? Or is that going too far because of what software is being used for? So use of a mobile app for reporting fly tipping and waste. And I just thought that'd be something that'd be very useful for councillors. And the other worrying trend that I seen in this was we get it because of maybe the culture of what people feel this council's like, that the percentage of residents to feel they can have a say on how services are being delivered went from nearly 60% down to 45%. Now that could be around that time frame when you're talking about big capital projects and a lot of media, negative media out there and people saying we don't have a say. But it also feeds into what we brought back at the last two SPNR committees. I know, and both myself and Councillor Hannan have spoken of keeping stuff in open session. I mean, that helps that, because if the more stuff that's behind closed doors and in closed session, people think we don't know what's going on, we don't have a say. So that's why that's important going forward, we try and get as much in open session and try and drive that back up.
Thank you, Councillor Warren. Andrew, do you want to come in there on anything?
Yeah, Chair, I just want to come in a couple of things. Northern Environment Agency are currently reviewing their waste management strategy. The last one, I think, came out in 2013 and have said that that will be out before the end of the calendar year for consultation. That is the strategy. At the same time, this process has always been back to front, and that councils have been asked to do their waste management plans before they're aware of the strategy. We hope to get the strategy this year. We're also at the same time started the review through ARC21 of the waste management plan, but clearly we'll not complete that until we know what's in the strategy, which will allow us to align the local actions with what has been proposed regionally.
Just, I come back in just in respect of the planning targets. They're statutory targets. So they're set by the department.
Yeah, and Chair, the free play and the flight of an app.
Chair, there are actually a number of apps. Some councils use an app called Binovation, which I know a number of councils use it, which can give information such as, can even get down to the point of what your bin collection days are in your calendars, and also opening hours of recycling centres, what materials can be accepted at recycling centres, as well as fly tip, you know, the ability to report incidents of fly tip. And the department were actually in the process of developing an app or a protocol and an app associated with fly tipping specifically, because there is an agreement, a protocol between the council and Environment Agency in relation to fly tipping. I'm not quite sure what that is at the moment. I certainly can come back to the councillor outside of the meeting on that and what our intention is with looking at establishing an app for Newry Moreland Downs Waste Collection Services.
Free play. Connor's asking what is free play app.
Yeah, it's Paul's money, yeah.
Yeah.
Paul's money's not free play, but it's Paul's money.
Is Paul still online? Oh, no,
Yep, still here, yeah. I'm assuming you mean the free play sessions that are delivered through Playboard NI, Councillor Brin, which I suppose we engage with them subject to funding, and then they might deliver free play sessions on our behalf. But essentially, and let me come back to you on it, but I think the other ones you relate to, we don't per se as a council deliver free play sessions, but we would engage Playboard Northern Ireland to deliver them. So it might be a third party that's delivering that and providing the app.
Perfect. Okay, so we're going to move into closed session as items. Yeah. So I need a proposer and seconder to go into closed session. Oh, sorry, for the assessment. So for item number 8, I need a proposer and seconder. So I've got Councillor Sharvin and Councillor Hanlon. Sorry, Linda. Okay, so we're going to move into closed session as items 9 to 18 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act NI 2014. So I have a proposer and in Councillor Hanlon and a seconder in Councillor O'Hare to go into closed session. And Linda, if you want to give me a shout when you're ready. Thank you, Linda. Okay, so whilst in committee, the following items were agreed for decision. Item number 9, mobile device, voice and data services contracts on the proposal of Councillor Taylor, seconded by Councillor Sharvin. It was agreed to consider the contents of the report and approve the procurement of mobile device, voice and data services through Lot 1 of the CCSRM 6261 Framework Agreement. Item 10, lease of lands at Barcroft Community Centre, Newry, on the proposal of Councillor Mathers, seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed that elected members approved to lease the lands shaded purple on the map attached in the officer's report to the tenants for the residue of the term of the 2018 lease, 15 years from the 1st of January 2017, at a peppercorn rent subject to departmental consent. Item number 11, lease of the old gas work site, Newry, on the proposal of Councillor Mathers, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed that elected members approved to enter into a new lease in respect of the unit to the party noted in the report for a term of 5 years from the 1st of December 2022, subject to market value rent as determined by Councillor's valuer. Item 12, Kilkee Leisure Centre Capital Bill Project. On the proposal of Councillor McAvoy, seconded by Councillor Lewis, it was agreed elected members approved the following recommendations. Essential and enhancement works for the Kilkeel Leisure Centre Capital Project at a revised cost as outlined in section 4.1 of this report. Commence the procurement process to appoint a contractor and commence construction delivery in accordance with the NI public procurement policy via the central government consultants framework agreement. Item 13, IFA DCMS funding Kilkeel training pitch. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor McAvoy, it was agreed elected members approved for 50% match funding to develop a multi-use games area at Kilkeel Leisure Centre at a cost outlined in section 4.1 of this report. Item 14, surplus assets update. on the proposal of Councillor Mathers, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, it was agreed elected members approved the following recommendations: to remove the former Cairns and Murdoch site from disposal process and retain the site, to withdraw the D1 application made by Sirhan Sloan Centre at this stage as the timescale within the process have not been met and there are still outstanding issues that need to be addressed prior to disposal. This will allow the issues that have arisen to be explored further before next steps are considered. A report will be brought back in due course to the committee. To note the current lack of interest in the site at Patrick Street and that officers will look at the options available and report back to the committee in due course. Item 15, Torella Beach Amenity Building. On the proposal of Councillor Lewis, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed elected members approved to appoint an integrated consultancy team and contracted to deliver the Torella Beach Amenity Building project as detailed in the project business case and approve inclusion of funding in Section 4 within the capital plan. Item 16, the Downpatrick Regeneration Project. On the proposal of Councillor Enright, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, it was agreed elected members approved to procure and appoint a consultancy team to progress regeneration projects for the Courcy Place and Church Street in Downpatrick as aligned with the New Living High Street Master Plan for the town and detailed in the project business case, and again to approve inclusion of funding in Section 4 within the Capital Plan. Item 17, Animal Welfare Funding. On the proposal of Councillor Kelly, seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed elected members approved the instruction of Belfast City Council Legal Service to draft a pre-action protocol letter on behalf of the 11 district councils with a view to seeing being issued by the Chief Executive for Mana and Oma District Council on behalf of the 11 councils and to receive further reports in the matter as the developments take place. And item 18, which was for noting the Strategic Finance Working Group Action Plan dated the 7th of September. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, it was agreed to note the Strategic Finance Working Group Action Sheet the 7th of September 2023. So, thank you. So, we will move on to item 19 to 21, which are all for noting. So, Councillor Enright, you'd like to make a comment?
Thanks, Chair. Regards to item 20, the Mourne's Gateway project, the actions listed at 2.1 completely failed to advance the actions agreed by and legally binding on Council as a result of our motion in June as amended by Sinn Féin. The key actions in that motion were full public consultation on the Gateway project, and secondly, consideration of alternative projects. These actions are not being taken forward in this report, so we need to ensure that the report is amended to reflect the June motion and press officers for a time frame on delivery of these actions. Every month that officers obfuscate and delay on this, the greater the chance we have of losing any and all money for any Gateway project in Newcastle. In section 2.2, there's a suggestion that a consultation has actually taken place. No public consultation has occurred. There was a stakeholder analysis and an information day, but that wasn't a public consultation. A consultation which council in the past has claimed occurred in 2017 was actually cancelled at the last minute and it was never rescheduled. Questions put to officers at the information day in the comments box have never been replied to. And there's been no formal or meaningful way for the people to feed in into these plans by way of consultation. So, Chair, I would suggest that this report needs to be amended to correctly reflect the June motion brought forward by my party, as amended by Sinn Féin, to include those two key actions of a public consultation and consideration of alternative projects. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Can I respond to Councillor Enright? In reflecting on the motion that was amended by Councillor Hanlon and seconded by Councillor Byrne, at the committee meeting. It's my understanding the intent was as follows, that the council will revisit the stakeholder engagement process and undertake a robust consultation on the project with residents, workers and businesses within the district via the project board for approval. So the approval will be, for that process will be tabled, and the proposal will be tabled at the project board for approval and delivered via the project board as intended within the notice of motion. The second element with the officers are to bring back a paper to committee that provides a full and comprehensive update on the status of the project thus far. And I believe that this report provides that update on the status of the project so far. And that is why the report is in front of members tonight for noting.
Thank you, Connor. Councillor Kelly.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I just kind of want to echo some of my colleagues' comments there. You know, as the main actions from this report, from the motion were, you know, full public consultation and consideration of alternative projects. And as far as I'm aware, and, you know, we have checked this out, there hasn't been a full public consultation. The report suggests there was a consultation in 2017, but actually on the council website regarding Mourne Gateway project, it actually says that that meeting held in 2017 was a key stakeholder event. It wasn't a full public consultation. And also, it whilst it lists the key stakeholders that were involved, the motion involves stakeholder and consultation with residents, workers and businesses. And as far as I'm aware, that hasn't happened. And if it has, then, you know, where's the report on that? And so, yeah, and therefore alternatives as well. And so I agree with Councillor Enright's comments and propose that then two actions regarding the full public consultation and the alternatives be included in this report and with a timeframe of delivery for them two actions. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Kelly. Councillor Hanlon.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's just my understanding of reading the report that's presented was to get councillors over the detail of the timeline of what has happened thus far with the Mourne Gateway project, to make sure that new councillors coming on board on the council knew the timeline. In regards to the motion, you know, it was that we would revisit the stakeholder project and it will be decided via the project board. A good example of that would be how the Castlewell and Forest Park was taken over from the forestry service to council. So, for example, any decisions made there were made under the project board and reported back to council. So, the members of that group were all decided upon and they were given a good a broad kind of, you know, brief of what their role was, but also ensuring that there was a good variety among the stakeholders to make sure that everybody's voice was heard. I'm sort of a bit confused tonight because I know that the project board hasn't met since the motion was actually agreed and the amendments were agreed.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Enright, do you have a question?
Yes, I mean, this report clearly suggests that a public consultation has taken place, and as a matter of fact, it hasn't, and I think that needs to be corrected. There was a date fixed for a public consultation, but as I say, it was cancelled at the last minute, and no public consultation has actually taken place. That needs to be corrected, and there is, at the June meeting, an agreement that we needed to look at alternative projects in case the public consultation proved to be adverse. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Actually, two of the points, Councillor Una touched on the 2 points that I was going to raise, but just followed what Cadogan has said. We asked as SBNR to go back to the project board for them to discuss, review the stakeholder engagement. It is under the remit of the project board that those discussions take place. They're the ones that's micromanaging the project or getting updates from officers. And I know Una talked about another forum where it worked well. Near East City Centre Regeneration, we talked about our stakeholder engagement and what was needed. There was a lot of negativity around the project. We went out with questionnaires. We had public events where they came in and seen the plans. It was through a discussion on the members of NCCR that we says, listen, this is what we need, bespoke consultation for this project. That's what we have asked at SBNR for you to do on the project board for the Moor Mountain Gateway. So that's what the motion stated, and it's rightly here for noting. You've got to go and have those discussions on the project board. Yes, the timeline was to give new councillors the information on where we are to date on the projects. They talk about, obviously, this is one of the tourism projects in the Belfast Region City deal. We constantly get a red herring thrown out of looking at alternative projects, and we have new councillors that are coming in and saying that as well, but this project has been selected for the city deal. It's not as easy as rip up this project and we select a new project and put that in. It doesn't work like that. You know, you've £30 million of funding. There are a lot of hurdles in this project that we need to get over. There are a lot of issues that we need to deal with in order to get to the full business case. And obviously we have issues, as other parties have as well, but we want to work through that. We can't simply just say we're going to select a new project and then the city deal funding rolls over to that new project. That's a red herring. So stating that at every meeting is actually counterproductive. The full cost of any new project would fall on the council, and this is about maximising investment into this district. Obviously, we're all not going to agree on the tourism projects that are envisaged, and obviously there's going to be issues, but we're here to work through the issues, and that's for the project board. So any consultation, the form of the consultation should be decided by the project board and sent here as a recommendation for us at SBNR to ratify or have a discussion. It's not for us to decide, because we'd be doing the work of the project board, so happy to note the report.
Thank you. Councillor Enright, you have an F in the chat. Is that?
I was seconding my colleague Tierna's proposal.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Kelly, you've already been. I'll allow you to come in briefly, as this report's only for noting.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Chair. I just want to note that this alternatives idea being a red herring is the idea of alternatives for this project being presented to council is part of the motion. It's not something that we've just made up and we're just, you know, I'm just saying for the sake of saying, you know, we're noting concerns with this, the gondola elements of the project, and that's what is noted in the motion. And I think it's, we need to have concern regarding that, and we need to also have a full, view on the Moor and Gateway project as what is it and what are alternatives to it. And I think I just wanted to make that clear, Chair. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, Chair. A couple of things there. First of all, they're talking about the stakeholder engagement where over 100 plus people attended the Burndale. To me, that is consultation. You know, residents, workers, businesses attended that. If that's not a consultation, then what is? Any other consultation will be of the same. We had boards that showed, you know, designs of potentially what would look like. Again, that is a consultation. But to the point that Pete made there, you know, and it's a question to Connor, if the response was that the gondola is not the right thing, if we as a council say, right, we're not doing the gondola, that money's gone. Like, we cannot go and say we want to do something else. The project that we submitted to the Belfast City Region deal was that we wanted to do the Moor Gateway, which included a gondola. And if the gondola was removed, then that element of the money would be removed from this council. Is that a fair comment?
And so the project that was in front of BRCD is a project in its current form, and that was the basis for the approval by the department, and that is the project that we are currently tasked with delivering. Any significant change of scope or scale of that project would be subject to further consideration by the departments through the process that has already been established within the BRCD programme.
And the reason why I ask that question is, I feel like some councillors don't get that. You know, yes, we accept there is people's concerns about the gondola, and that is what the project board is there to work through, understand what the concerns are, can we address it or mitigate it? But we as a council need to remember this is a significant investment in our district. Like, we are talking as if we don't want it. majority of us are turning saying, we want it, we understand the concerns, we want investment, so can we start talking more positively about this investment and address any of the concerns that people have through the project board and then come back to committee? Because this does go out into the media, and I'm sure the departments are looking at it going, oh, does Nearing More and Down not want this anymore? We'll take the money away and someone else will get it. So we need to start being conscious of how we phrase what we're saying in this chamber, particularly in public session. You know, we as a council have decided this is a project that we want to move forward. We as a council need to support that decision and take in consideration any concerns, understand the concerns. Can we mitigate it, or is there a workaround to that? So it's just a comment on that, Chair. And the other piece that I'm continuing to hear is public consultation. If you actually read the motion, the word public is not stated anywhere. It's a robust consultation. So you're saying public consultation, that element is nowhere in that motion.
Sorry, Chair, can I just come in there?
Friendship Kelly, very, very brief. This paper is for noting.
I understand, sorry, but I just want to say, I mean, I tried to bring this up at the last committee meeting regarding the Belfast City Region deal and the money there. I'm not against the investment of 30 million into our council district, but I also don't think we should be taking money just to spend it on a project that could be potentially very environmentally damaging and destructive to our natural mountain range. And that's why I have continually brought up the possibility of alternatives is, you know, why is that communication with what the motion was in June not being communicated with Belfast City Region deal, that we've had concern and that we have as a council are to look at alternatives for this project. And I think it's just unfair for councillors to keep throwing out that it's almost my opinion that that we don't want this investment in our council. I just think there's definitely a couple of other options we need to look at before we start putting a gondola up the Mourne mountain range. So thanks for that.
Thank you, Hanlon, as I said.
Yeah, and I'll be very brief. And because I do feel like I've said this before on numerous occasions, just in terms of the actual project, it'll be the project board that determine what the project is. And I think we need to steer away from, you know, the gondola project. It's the Mourne Gateway project, and the project board will report into the council. That is, you know, that is what's going to happen about what yous have decided as a broad stakeholder forum on what should actually be delivered. And again, I'm going to make the point, and I think I've made it several times through several forums and council. Alliance do have their members sitting on the Belfast City Regional Deal Forum. And at every point throughout this decision-making process or agreement or whatever it was, that Alliance reps there. And I would encourage that they go and speak to their reps on that forum, you know, to understand what's going on. I thought tonight that would have been clear by bringing this paper back to council and giving a full timeline, which even got the likes of myself over the detail of it, not sitting on ERT committees, that, you know, I know exactly now what has gone from the start to date. And I think that was the point of the item for noting tonight. And I just wanted to make that point. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Byrne. And I said
it'll be very brief. Very, very brief. It's just on the last point that Councillor Kelly had stated. We said this, and I'm repeating myself, Laguna, it's repeating myself there from the last SBNR meeting. To go and make contact with the Belfast Region City deal and say that we've got reservations with one of our projects is bonkers. Absolutely bonkers. We've put in two projects into the tourism regeneration strand. Other councils have only got one in it. There isn't even enough in the pot to deliver all these projects in the tourism regeneration. I remember at one of the meetings that we're talking about, the ones that are shovel ready to go are going to eat up the funding before other projects come later on in the decade long plan. We're lucky to have it and Yuri in. There's obviously big issues with both projects. That's for us to internally discuss and sort out. And the councillor, Kelly, states that there is potentially destructive for us to go and start arguing against our own projects publicly with the funder who's accepted our outline business case without looking at all those issues in our own project board is crazy. All that is headline chasing.
So get into the project board, have these discussions, flush out what is potentially destructive and how we can mitigate against that, have as much engagement that's ongoing on this project, and be united when we're going back to the funders to try and draw down £30 million in funding. So it's not about putting out press releases and newspaper articles, trying to communicate with Belfast Region City Deal. That's us. You know, we have reps sitting on it, and as Councillor Hannan says, Alliance reps are on it as well. We're talking to ourselves and criticising our own project that we submitted. I just can't get my head around it.
Thank you, Councillor Byrne. Okay, so I need a proposer and seconder, and I'll take items 19 to 20, one all together. If we could have a proposer and seconder for those items, please, that were for noting. Thank you, Councillor Byrne, and Councillor Hyle. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for this evening's meeting, and safe home. Take care. Bye-bye.